May the grace, mercy, and truth of God our Heavenly Father be with us this morning and forever henceforth. Amen. For a text today, I'd like to read Matthew's account of the birth of Christ. A lot of times the account that's written in Luke is the one that is usually taken for today, and because it's just a lot more, there's a lot more information. But this happens to be the text for this Sunday, and there's a lot of information in here too. But I'd like to begin from the first chapter of Matthew, and beginning with verse 18. And we'll read down through the end of the chapter through verse 25. And we'll read these words in Jesus' name. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, again we come before you. And Father, we pray that as we read and as we study these words and as we speak on them, that Father, that your words would be what would be heard, that your words would be what was spoken, and that Father, we could rejoice in the fact of what these words say, that we would be able to rejoice in the fact that our salvation was born and that we have a hope for eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So often the focus, or at least for me anyway, the focus is on Mary. And rightfully so. It needs to be. It should be. She was the mother of our Lord. It was the angel that came down and spoke to her and told her that you will bear a son, which you can imagine was quite a mystery, being that she had no husband. And she was a righteous woman. She was a woman that loved and cherished God. In verse 18, he says, Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she found to be child of the Holy Ghost. To be espoused to a man at then and in those days was basically the same thing as being married. The ceremony hadn't taken place, but the significance of being espoused or being the wife of the man that she was to marry was very, very important. It was very, very critical. So this takes on a different understanding as to why things were the way they were. Mary knew this. She knew what the consequences were. She knew what this would look like to the outer world. And yet she obeyed God. And she accepted what God had given for her to do and for her to be. So she was found with child. Well, Joseph, which scripture doesn't talk a lot about him, there's a couple of places, and for me it takes on a very large or very big significance, because Joseph is the man that I would like to be. Joseph is the man who obeyed God in every sense of the word. And all you have to do is read. Read what it says here. Read where it says it in the different Gospels. Read where it says when after Jesus was born and the rulers wanted to come and, quote, worship him. In reality, whereas they wanted to kill him. Read what God said to him and what he did. He obeyed. He didn't question. He didn't say, well, I don't know, I don't have any money, I can't go. No, he obeyed God. He obeyed him without question and did what God wanted him to do. He was the father of our Lord because he was the one that raised Jesus, he and Mary. Please don't mistake what I'm saying. God was the father of our Lord through the Holy Spirit. But Joseph was the one that brought him up. Joseph was the one that raised him in the household. Joseph was the one that provided for him. Joseph was the one that set a table for him and provided with food as Jesus grew up as being a son of man. Joseph was there. It only speaks of him briefly, but his importance was beyond question. So Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. In Deuteronomy, it talks about when a woman is found to have committed adultery. It's kind of hard to hide. It's not something that they can sneak around and pretend it's not happening. But in Deuteronomy, it says that the consequences for that is to be stoned. And Joseph knew this. Joseph knew what the rules were. He didn't have to read about it or question it or anything on that order. He knew what it meant. But as it says in the first part of that verse, he thought about privately about trying to put her aside or put her away or whatever the term is that you want to use. He had compassion. I might even say that he had a love for Mary. But he was compassionate towards her. And he did not want to harm her. He did not want to hurt her. But he wanted also to do as the law spoke to do. The law of God. He did not want to go against that. And that's something we need to look at each and every day in our lives. When there's things that confront us, there's things when that we look to, whether it's on the job or wherever it happens to be, things that confront us that we know not to be right. We know that it's something that we shouldn't be doing, and yet the rewards, quote, rewards, or the benefits of doing it might mean a little bit more money in our paycheck. Or it might mean a little more glory, or whatever it happens to be. You put the word in there. You make it up. But yet deep down in our heart, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us, no, that's not right. It's not good to do that. You represent, even as I said in prayer, you represent one better than that. And that's the way Joseph was doing it. That's how he was minded. He didn't want to. Just by reading what he said or what the way it's described, it was not something that he was going to take joy in. He didn't see the benefit in it, but it was because God wanted it that way. But in verse 20, he says, but while he thought on these things, while he was considering them, well, he was thinking about how he could do it, how he could divorce her, I guess, if you will, privately, to make her journey easier or better. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid to take her. In essence, what the angel was telling him, that don't be afraid. God will take care of things. God will be able to straighten this all out, and nothing will happen. And again, do you think Joseph pushed it off? No. He understood it. Joseph was a righteous man. Joseph was a man of God. Joseph listened to what God had to say to him. He says to him, "Thou son of David." In the 17th verse of this same chapter, chapter 1, we know that the first verses before that kind of go through the whole lineage leading up to Christ. But he says in the 17th verse, "So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away unto Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away unto Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations." Joseph, thou son of David. It's proven who Joseph was. And it was proven who Christ is also. And who Christ was going to be, or at least going to be viewed to be part of that generation. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." The angel even told Joseph what to name him. Even like the angel told John's father, "You're going to call him John." That was kind of a mystery to them, because that was not the way things were done. And it's the same thing here. It's not the way things were done. The children, or the male child, was commonly named after a relative, or commonly named after someone with great respect. It didn't happen here, and it did not happen with John the Baptist. There was a significance to that naming. And in this case, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And that's what Jesus' name means. You can look it up in Scripture, or you can look it up in your Bible dictionaries, and there's various different meanings, but they all mean the same thing, or various different ways of writing it down. But they all mean the same thing: salvation. That's what Jesus came to do. That's what he came to his mission upon this earth was to save mankind. And he says here, "For thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Was he talking about the Jewish nation? No, not at all. Then who are his people? His people are you and me, folks. His people are us. Why? Because we believe in him. We have faith in him. And we understand that he is God's son. And we understand that he arose on that third day. He defeated death. He defeated the devil. He defeated hell. And he arose on that third day. And we have that hope now for eternity, because we believe in him. We are his people. "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." I was listening to a song a few days ago, a week ago, whatever it was. One that's very familiar to all of us, I'm sure. And it's a song about Mary and how she views her son. Mary, did you know? And one particular verse in there, and all of the verses that are written, of course, are scriptural and what Jesus did. And the question is that, Mary, did you know that he was going to walk on water? Did you know that he was going to be God's son? You know, and so on. But there's one that caught my attention. And it was, and it, this is something every mother does. I dare say that there isn't a mother around that hasn't done it at some form or some time when they're holding their little child. And part of that verse in that song says, Mary, did you know that when you kiss your child, you're kissing the face of God? Think about that. Think about that. This is what God had planned. This is how important it was. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And she did. And then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. Here again we see Joseph. He had a dream. He didn't say, well, is this real? Is this something that I should pay attention to? Or is this something that I should ignore and just sit there and do nothing? Or is this something that I should do as according to what was given me, that I would obey him? He obeyed. And he took unto himself Mary, and took unto himself a wife. Now, do you think for a moment that God didn't work things around however he did, so this all played out and Mary was not demonized, maybe, if you will, for the lack of a better term, something I can think of at the moment anyway? Do you think for a moment that God didn't work this out so that Mary was respected, and so that all that knew her and saw the uplifting or the upbringing of her son had respect for her? Oh, there may have been some that went around. You know, there's always a few that, you know, look at that, look at what they're doing. There she goes, don't you? No, I don't believe for a moment that God allowed that to happen. Because Mary was a righteous woman. Mary was a woman who feared God. Mary was a woman who obeyed God, even as her husband obeyed. So he took unto himself, or took unto him his Mary as his wife. And they were married. And he knew her not till he had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. He was with her. He comforted. He held up his end of the deal, where he provided for her. And he kept her safe. He did all the things that her husband is supposed to do. He did all the things that was required of him. But not only required, he did all the things that he knew a good man was supposed to do. And it was not to his glory. It was not for him to gain any type of acceptance or gain any type of satisfaction or gain any type of glory. He did it because that is how God wants things to be. He did it because that's how God wants us. He wants us to take care of those that he has entrusted to us. Even as Jesus takes care of us even today. Think about that for a moment. We are entrusted to Jesus. God has given us to him. because we believe, and because we believe the instruction, I guess, that God has given. And we believe that Christ died upon the cross, but was raised again on that third day, completely destroying Satan and all of his power. And we are now on that road to salvation because we believe that. And we rejoice in the fact that God, thank you for understanding and for knowing and have a plan. And this is what it was. God's plan of salvation. It's a very common term, but think about it just for a moment. Think about his plan of salvation. Don't just, well, that was God's plan of salvation, jerk off and go off and do the next thing. No. Stop and think about it just for a few. God's plan of salvation was the birth of his Son, the preaching and teaching of his Son, the instructing of the apostles, the giving of the Holy Spirit, and rising on that third day, and continued to walk with the apostles for, I believe it was some 40 days after that. And then on that day, which is recorded in the book of Acts, when he was taken up into the clouds, and they stood around and watched him going up until he disappeared. And then the angels looked at him and said, "Why are you doing that? For he shall return in the same way that he left." And that's the day that we look forward to today. That's the day that we look forward to with anticipation and with joy. My mom always says, "Come, Lord Jesus." She's kind of tired of all the nonsense that's going on in this world at this time. It's a favorite expression of hers. She's tired of all this nonsense. Of course, she's 90 years old, too, and she misses my dad something awful. She's ready to leave right at this moment. And I hope and pray that the path that I walk on, I can say the same thing if God gives those days. And right now I can. Come, Lord Jesus, fill me with your love, with your compassion, with your heart, that I may be an example of you. May he add his blessings to these words. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for that precious gift that you gave to us. Thank you for that precious gift that even walks with us today through your Spirit. Thank you for that precious gift who sits on your right hand. Thank you for that precious gift that one day we will be with him forever in glory. Father, we give glory and honor to you for that, knowing that you have had that plan and that we are a part of it. And now, Lord, we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.